So yesterday I was not here, and I'm going to try to get through this without completely breaking down. So bear with me. You guys assist me, please, if
Absolutely.
I do. But my mom passed away this morning. She passed away at the age of 84 here in Dallas. And yesterday we were with her at her assisted living facility. My sister came in town. We thought, and, you know, Bob, you've been up to date on all this for a long time. And we thought it was going to be this weekend.
Yeah.
My sister had come in the week prior. And, you know, with all the COVID stuff going on, and she's a nurse, and she doesn't feel safe traveling anywhere because she she's with patients all the time, and she doesn't know who's got what, and even though they're fully masked and all that, she's very, very leery of passing the disease on if she does have it. So, you know, she's tried to minimize her trips down here. She's come like once every 3 weeks since my mom's got really bad. And my mom had really what took her down. She had dementia and Parkinson's, and it all hit in the last 9 months, really.
Yeah, I absolutely have very little understanding of what you're dealing with. But ever since you and I even started talking about this show.
Yeah.
And way before, I mean, you've had this on your plate, and then which is certainly difficult on a million different levels that I can't even imagine. Then the pandemic thing absolutely kind of cuts off your parents from everyone in the family, and your sister with her own unique spot. And I have really, really felt for you in this entire situation. I just don't know that there's anything anybody can do about any of this. And I also know that there must be thousands of people in a similar spot where a loved one is fighting for their life, or they don't even have the COVID,
right?
But they have something else, and therefore everything involved in that is now affected. So I've really, really been bumming for your family and situation.
Yeah, it's been really weird, and so, you know, got really bad over the weekend, and we thought she was going to pass this weekend, but she didn't. And luckily my sister was able to get into town.
Great.
And she was like, because she was going to wait until after mom died. Like I said, she had made her peace with her about 6 days prior. But
and is it easy for her to get away?
No, you know,
I mean, not easy, but it's possible.
Yeah, it is.
When it's
possible.
A parent.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And so she came in, and, you know, a lot of these times when someone is at the end of their life and they're hanging on, and you see it and you wonder, how are they hanging on?
Yeah.
Which I told you, because I would see her every day and I'm like, I don't know how you're doing this. And then people will tell you she's waiting on something. And she was waiting on my sister, is what she was.
Dang.
And, you know, we would tell her in her room that, you know, it's okay to let go. It's okay. We're all here. But my sister wasn't there. And when my sister got there, we spent all day yesterday. And there's something very, I don't even know what it is. There's something kind of, It brings it all back to where it started, where, you know, typically if a loved one passes away, you want as many family members around there as possible.
Yes.
Well, that's not that you couldn't do that. There were two people allowed up there in her room because of COVID, and it was me and my sister. And for a while it was one at a time, but they, since it, obviously the inn was right there, they let us both in.
Okay. I was wondering, had the local environment changed it, or had her
condition,
state of health?
Okay. Her condition.
Okay.
And so we were allowed to go up there. And so yesterday we were there all day, and that's where I was.
Yeah.
And so it was me and her and my mom and my dad. That's it. Our little nuclear family. And, you know, it was kind of, you'd love for grandkids to be there and all that, and cousins and aunts and uncles and everything, and friends. You know, you just think of that. If someone is dying, you want as many people there as possible. But there was something very real about just having the four of us in there. Now, my mom was obviously not responsive, and she was hanging on. But, you know, we got to telling stories. The three of us did, my sister and my dad and I, and and laughing, and we were hoping that she could hear it all.
Man, that's really something. I just would think about, when would the last time you four be alone possibly be?
I know. Dude.
Like, before, like, I'm just thinking about my brother, sister, my mom and dad, well before I got married.
Yes.
And
there's then, always others around.
Yeah.
Always.
Or one of you is missing.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or both. Yeah. And so, man, that feels like a profound opportunity on some level. So that, you know, I don't know that aids your family in this situation, but I think that was a rare moment in time, and hopefully that was special to you guys.
It was. It was incredible. Looking back at it, and you kind of felt in the moment that this was, it almost felt like it was the right thing to do, and to have, you know, that amount of people and those particular people there in the end. And then she passed away a few hours later. But my, you know, I don't want to drop a eulogy or anything on anybody, but, I will say this about her and everybody had growing up, everybody had a house that was like the hub house
mm-hmm.
for the friends and all that. Well, our house was the hub house. Friends, you know, I'm my sister and I were separated by 2 years. So, you know, summers were just a cavalcade of human beings at our house, swimming in the canal, jumping on the trampoline, running through the house, playing foosball, playing ping pong. I mean, you cannot imagine from, you know, my sister's angle and mine, just the amount of neighborhood kids and friends from all over that would come over and be over at all times. And my mom always was the more the merrier, who's staying for dinner, I don't care. And the amount of time that she spent outside, too, making sure that nobody was drowning in the canal. You know, she's sitting there watching everybody like a hawk when there's 20 10-year-olds out there just doing total jackassery. And she is out there watching everybody at all times while the background noise is Eric Nadel and Mark Holtz's Ranger games are being blasted from those old 70 speakers throughout the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I said, it's just who needs what? I'll go to the store and get another 12-pack of Coke for everybody, all the kids. And my refrigerator was lined with Dr. Peppers at all times, yeah. You know. And yeah,
Is your dad about the same age as your mom?
A year older.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, same thing.
So they were mid-30s when they had little Corby?
Yeah, they were old for their time.
Uh-huh.
You know, for the late 60s when my sister and I were born, they were in their mid-30s, which was ancient. I think they'd had trouble getting pregnant and all that. And so, you know, they were obviously super stoked when it finally came to fruition. But, you know, the amount of my high school friends that have reached out today that still think of her as a second mom, you know, my college friends, it became that way too, traveling, you know, 40 minutes down the road to college, we would always come back to my house. You know, there is the same thing with her, you know, in that group. So, and then not to mention all of her own friends and church friends. And
yeah.
I mean, there's like 10 different groups of people that she was super close with that have been really, really awesome about reaching out and, you know, offering any help whatsoever. And the damnedest thing, the cruelest part of all this is, when she got really bad here in the last 3 months, especially the last 6 weeks, and the virus came around, that nobody could do anything.
Right.
And so here's this woman that meant the world to everybody, and not only could nobody do anything, they couldn't see her. And so it's ripped a lot of people apart in that regard.
That she was isolated down the stretch.
Yeah, and couldn't see my dad either. And obviously he's the one that needed more help than she did at the time. She's being well cared for. And on that front, you know, you never think about this when your parents are healthy, but you see it in the end and you always hear stories. And I always talk about with George yeah. would always tell me these stories about his parents because they passed away 15, 16 years ago. And he's like, you need to get ready for this. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Nobody wants to get ready for this.
You don't. And this is something they don't teach you.
No,
they don't. You don't learn anything about this growing up about how to deal with a parent that may be having issues, whether it's dementia or like my mom, you know, Parkinson's got really bad. They don't tell you these things, but you do realize pretty quickly that there are people out there that deal with this on a daily basis that know exactly what they're doing, that are true angels. And that's in the last 6 weeks, we moved my parents over to CC Young, the assisted living place over here in Dallas. And I really think that, you know, I'm a believer in the cosmic forces doing things that make sense. And, and this is one of them, that we found this place that was highly recommended to us. And to see the way that they took care of my mom in the last 6 weeks, the hospice nurses, you talk about true angels. These people,
that's great.
They are absolutely amazing. And so Mary Pat and Raylan, they don't listen, but shout out to them and everybody over at CC Young, all the nurses, all the doctors and everybody that helped take care of her around the clock for the last 6 weeks. It is a blessing of the highest order to have those people in my life now. And I don't want to, you know, it's one of those things where you meet these people and you become close to them over a few month period. And you're like, you know, like today you're saying bye and you can't. That's the other thing. This is like a situation where all you want to do is hug people.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hug anyone.
Right.
And it's so weird. And like today we were saying bye to them. And, you know, you start welling up and crying and they're crying and they see this all the time.
Yeah.
But they form this relationship with these people, and I don't know how they do it. They make you feel like you're the only one that's going through this.
Isn't that incredible?
They do that all the time. It's an
amazing. Like they have to move on. They've already moved on to the next and the next and the next, and yet they're able to make an impression on you, which speaks to just their compassion and their professionalism and just the way that their job, you know, gets them going like our job gets us going. And we can't imagine how you have the renewal to do that every day.
Yeah.
Because we're in here laughing.
I know.
Like obviously we're really hurting for you in this situation. And if we worked normal jobs, we would say, take as much time as you want. Right. I understand in our job, it actually sometimes works in the opposite. And you know, sometimes when you're going through something like this, you're like, Slim, let's do a show, you know, and so whatever you need, man.
This is very cathartic for me, you know.
Yeah, talking it out is actually very helpful sometimes.
And I needed, you know, yesterday was tough, and this morning was really tough, but I needed to come in here and at least get my mind off of things for a little bit. I'm going to go back over to Arlington, and be with my sister and my dad tonight and for the rest of the week. But you know, this certainly helps, but. It's weird. It's very it's a strange feeling knowing that you know, you're not, you know, you don't have a mom.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's it's super, super weird, and I'm 50 and I'm super lucky that I made it this long, because
that's right.
You know, my wife lost her dad when she was in her 20s, you know, and there were so many people that lose a parent when they're young, kids, and I feel like that I've been around death enough. From friends passing away to other family members, you know, grandparents, coworkers, you know, you see it, and I've been around it, but nothing really prepares you for the parent side of things. And
no, I can't, you know, I mean, no, even being close to it tangentially does not prepare you.
No,
it's just part of the life's journey that, you know, we all dread until. I don't, you know, I suppose, I don't know. There's nothing, there's no way to describe it. I like you have avoided, you know, at least I'm assuming I have avoided close deaths for my entire life. And as opposed to feeling blessed by that, I have this feeling of doom that the account comes due at some point,
right?
And so I guess that's just the human experience, is that in the back of our heads, we hope we can put off days like today for a long, long, long time.
Well, Mikey, I mean, you went through this as a young guy.
Yeah, I was 20, for sure.
Yeah.
And frankly, I'm always sort of jealous of people in their late 40s or 50s whose parents are still alive, you know? I mean, I don't say it, but you think
right.
it.
Right. Sure.
But honestly, like, the one thing that I would hope people maybe take from this and, you know, the whole call your parents thing.
Yeah,
because you take for granted that they're going to be there forever, and we know they're not, but I'm going to call my mom tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I haven't talked to her in a few days. And why? What am I doing? You know,
right. Like, and I know you're super close with your mom, and everybody knows. And I think it's so cool the relationship that you and your brother have with your mom. And, you know, cherish that because it's something that does go away and nobody wants to think about that. But, and I don't even think that there's a way to say that, hey, get prepared for this because you don't mm-hmm. want to be haunted by something like that.
No, but that's like, of all of the things about me, and I've got a lot of issues, you know, I've got a lot of problems, a lot of things I'd like to be better. The biggest one is I'm just so bad at calling my parents. I'm just so bad at it. Like, I feel like every time I call them, and it's, you know, it's once a week probably, but I know people do it every day, or and maybe it's not once a week. Maybe it's one of those things that if you actually saw an accounting of how often you do it, you're lying to yourself. Every time I do it, I feel better, but I also feel like I need to apologize, which actually pushes the call away. But I've got a 1,000-mile distance. I haven't lived locally with them since I was a teenager, basically, and so it's this different experience. I'm happy that you always, you know, you're like your kids know your parents really well, right?
Yeah,
and that's an awesome thing that I am a little bit jealous of, you know, just because
you can't go drop your kids off. Well, you know, when my parents were all good, it was just like, hey, call my mom. And she was awesome about this.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to drive to Arlington. We're going to go out in Fort Worth tonight.
Yeah.
My wife and I are. We're going to drop the kids off. And are you cool? Oh, my God. Yeah, can they stay the whole weekend, mm-hmm. you know, type thing? So,
well, my grandpa just turned 98 and we called him, which, you think I don't call my parents enough. Calling my 98-year-old grandpa is even more of a task for me just because I guess I'm sorry. I guess, you know, I don't know. It's something I've got to do better on, but I've known this and, you know, whatever. But anyway, he's living with my dad's brother right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the family around. We sing to grandpa. We have a nice conversation. We get off the call, and one of my kids asked me who the other guy with the beard was. Like, that's their uncle.
Yeah.
But they've seen him, like, twice in their entire life.
That's a trip.
You know, and it's just, man, I feel very sad for you. I know the whole Ticket family does, you know, and like we said, take whatever time you need or don't. And we are definitely thinking about you and helping you through this, man.
Yep. Shout out to all the moms out there, and in particular, you know, it's weird when you realize that you've lost your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that's exactly what that is in the end.
1,000%, man.
No matter who the mother is, those kids, you are their biggest cheerleader. And so in that regard, I love you, Mom. All right, let's
shout out to your whole family, buddy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.